God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace on this Good Friday morning to worship and to praise you for allowing your Son, our Lord Jesus, to die upon the old rugged cross for our sins and our redemption. Lord Jesus, we remember your supreme sacrifice for us, led like a lamb to the slaughter, clothed in humility and grace, you willingly offered yourself to die so that we may live forever. We are truly grateful for the extent of your love stretched out on a cruel cross. We are reminded of the excruciating pain you bore for us, and we are truly grateful for the forgiveness and salvation that you made possible for us. Father, we worship you and we offer our praises. Help us, O Lord, to live in the wonder of your goodness and your amazing grace. Forgive us, O Lord, for being too busy or distracted by other things, for not fully recognizing what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, that by your wounds we are healed. Thank you that because of your perfect sacrifice we can live. Thank you that sin and death have been conquered and that we can now live in that victory. Lord, we pray for the many throughout the world who suffer because of natural disasters or the war in Israel and Gaza, Ukraine in Sudan, and conflicts in other parts of the world. Lord, relieve the pain of the sick, comfort those who have lost loved ones, and throughout, Lord, these trying times, grant that we may all find comfort in your presence and love. Be with all the members of this congregation who have health issues, who are at home or nursing homes or in retirement villages. We continue, Lord, to pray for the arrival of the new pastor for this congregation. We trust in your sovereignty and goodness. We pray that you will bless this church with a pastor who will be used by your Spirit to bring renewal, growth, and spiritual vitality here in this part of your vineyard. Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity to give to the work of your church and for the opportunity to contribute to the work of World Transform. Bless and guide the committee as they work for, in the work that they do on behalf of the denomination. Help us, O Lord, to be a compassionate and generous people. Lord Jesus, you finished the work that you came to do. Enable us through your Holy Spirit to be faithful to the responsibilities that you have placed upon us, using the gifts that you have given us to serve you faithfully. Grant us, O Lord, the strength to bear our crosses and to endure our sufferings even unto death. Lord Jesus, we are grateful that death did not have the last word in your life, because you rose victoriously from the grave. Lord, speak to us today. May we have a living encounter with you. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading for the sermon this morning is from Mark chapter 15. Verses 22 to 39.
Mark chapter 15, verse 22. And they brought him, that's Jesus, to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So far, God's word.
Our text for meditation this morning is verse 39. "And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" I've entitled the message for this Good Friday morning, "The Confession of the Centurion." Dear congregation, have you ever wondered why this day is called Good Friday, when in reality it was a dark and a gloomy day outside Jerusalem where our Lord Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross, making salvation possible for us? It was a day when all of hell turned against our Savior. It was a day when those who opposed Jesus made sure that he was crucified. It was a day when all his disciples deserted him and left him to die in agony on that cross. It was a day of horror. It was a day that will never be forgotten. Yet, dear brothers and sisters, this morning, it was one of the greatest days since time began. For on that day, on that first Good Friday, our Savior died for our sins. Jesus Christ died as the perfect Lamb of God so that you and I may live. He died to save sinners. And yes, he was certainly surrounded by many of them that day. In that crowd that surrounded his cross were sinners, that is, criminals, soldiers, religious people, families, and a few friends. And also among them were two men that I would like to draw your attention to this morning. That is one of the two criminals who came to Calvary to be put to death. And the other was the Roman centurion, a Roman soldier, who came to Calvary to put men to death. But before that day was over, both these men became new creatures, saved by the grace and the sacrifice of the one dying on that old rugged cross. I understand why that particular thief or criminal was moved to believe. But have you ever thought about what was it? What was it that caused the Roman centurion to confess or to believe? Here is a Roman centurion who was assigned the task of crucifying Jesus, would have had no reason to believe in him as God. But the evidence could not be denied. And therefore, in a matter of hours, his mind was changed and his lips were moved to confess Jesus as God. This centurion confessed, surely this was a righteous man. Truly he was the Son of God. Perhaps something that he saw or heard that day that was used by the Spirit of God to touch his heart, to bring him to that point of saving grace in Jesus Christ. And today on this Good Friday 2025, I want to share with you what caused the centurion to believe. What caused the centurion to confess? The question is, was it the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ that he portrayed on that day that made the difference, that caused the centurion to confess? Verse 20 tells us that Jesus was led to the cross to suffer and die, to be crucified as the Lamb of God. But it also shows us that he went to the cross as meek as a lamb goes to the slaughter. Isaiah 53 verse 7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, and so he did not open his mouth. You see, he could have chosen to avoid the cross, but he didn't. He died so that we may live and receive mercy and forgiveness and salvation. Remember, the centurion had seen many die by crucifixion during his lifetime. For crucifixion was a form of torture devised by the Romans, and it was a common sight. And most of them, probably like these two criminals, crucified with Jesus that day. And most of them will die cursing and screaming in agony. But this centurion had never seen anyone else die like the way Jesus died. Something about the way Jesus conducted himself that day may have touched this man's hard heart. Does the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ touch your heart this morning? Or was it his cross that caused the centurion to confess? As I mentioned earlier, this man had seen many others die this kind of death. The brutality of the cross. Yes, the Bible tells us that Jesus suffered more than anyone else. He was carrying the sins of the entire world upon himself. He was facing the very wrath of God against our sin. Dear congregation, remember what they put Jesus through before the crucifixion. He was whipped. Yes, he was whipped with the hair of 9 tails that was made of strips that had embedded in those strips pieces of bone and metal and glass. And every time he was struck, it stuck on his flesh and they would rip his flesh, tear it apart. He was broken for the healing of our bodies. He was whipped and beaten. He was spat upon. He was mocked and humiliated. He was tortured and they put a crown of thorns on his head. And perhaps the centurion had never seen anyone in such a horrific state when they were crucified. Was it that that touched him? Or perhaps maybe it was the sign that was placed on the cross in verse 26 that could have touched the centurion's heart. This sign proclaimed Jesus to be the King of the Jews. It meant that he was the promised Messiah, the Christ. Perhaps it was this statement as to the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ that moved this, the heart of this man to respond this way. It may have been perhaps the old rugged cross that moved him. But let me ask you this morning, does his cross still move your heart? I think today often we get moved by the wrong things. You see, his death on the cross should move us. Yes, it should move us to love him and to worship him with all our hearts. Yes, to love and to serve him with greater commitment. After all, the Lord gave 100% on the cross. Should we do less? Yes, to even die for our faith, if that becomes necessary. I think very few of us would die for the Lord. After all, we cannot even faithfully live for him today. In other words, it's easy for us to say, yes, we will die for Christ. But are we really living for Christ? Further, was it Jesus' compassion that caused the Roman centurion to confess? While Jesus was dying on that cross, he demonstrated his grace and his love by showing compassion for the needs of others, even in the moment of his own greatest need. He showed compassion to the crowd, and during his last hours on the cross, Jesus reached out to those around him. You see, the people around the cross, they mocked him. They ridiculed him. They tormented him, even as he died. And yet, he did not condemn them. He did not rebuke them. When he opened his mouth, it was to pray for them. Father, forgive them. What grace! He even took the time in his dying hour to provide for the needs of his mother Mary, John 19:26-27. He loved her and he made sure that she was taken care of after his departure. He showed compassion here also to the criminal, Luke 23:39-43. Because while this criminal, just moments earlier, he joined the other criminal in mocking Jesus. And he asked for help concerning his own spiritual condition. And Jesus reached out to him. He reached out to him in grace, in love and compassion. He promised this criminal salvation when he asked the Savior to remember him. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Which was, after all, the reason for the cross in the first place. Was it this concern for the salvation of sinners that caused the centurion to pause and to proclaim his faith in Jesus? Was it this compassion that Jesus portrayed and displayed that touched this man? Dear brothers and sisters, his compassion for sinners was one of the things that has drawn me closer to him, and that continues to draw me ever closer to the Lord every day. Thank God that he has a tender heart for the fallen. He opens the door to all who would come to him, and then he lets us in, and then he keeps us in too. Or was it the cries of our Savior from the cross that caused the centurion to believe, to confess? You see, the gospel writers, they record for us 7 times Jesus opened his mouth and spoke while he was on the cross. Here's how difficult it would be for anyone in that situation to utter these, to make these utterances. We find 3 of them are recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Allow me to take a moment this morning to run through those 7 utterances of our Lord Jesus Christ from the cross. You see, although Mark doesn't record all of them, but the centurion had the opportunity to hear all of them. Let us hear them again on this Good Friday morning. First, we hear the cry of love for those around the cross. Love for his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here is the cry of love. Love even for his enemies. Then we hear the cry, number 2, the cry of forgiveness for the criminal. Today you will be with me in paradise. Third, the cry of loneliness. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Verse 34. Fourth, we hear the cry of provision, providing for his mother's care. John 19:26-27. Mother, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. Number 5, we hear the cry of agony. I am thirsty. John 19:28. Number 6, we hear the cry of victory. It is finished. It doesn't mean that Jesus was finished. It meant that the work that he came to do was finished. It was completed. Tetelestai, which means paid in full. Jesus paid for our sins in full. It is finished. Number 7, we hear the cry of departure. Luke 23:46. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. And certainly these utterances by our Lord Jesus Christ move the heart of the centurion. And certainly has he heard them. He heard the Lord speaking those words, moved his heart, and he realized, as his heart was stirred, that this was an extraordinary man dying here. Perhaps that is why he confessed, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Verse 39. I don't know if it was the words of our Lord Jesus Christ was what touched this man's heart, but they sure do strike a chord in our hearts, this morning. Yes, dear congregation, it moves our hearts. Even when he was dying for the sins of the entire world, that he still had the time to focus his thoughts on others. You see, of all the things that Jesus said while he was here on earth, some of the greatest words from his mouth has been these. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Or perhaps it is these words, if any man thirst, let him come to me and let him drink of the living water. Or John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Of course, all his statements are equally powerful and inspirational. But those personal invitations, they mean much to us because they meet our greatest needs and they do satisfy our hungry hearts. So, dear congregation, on this Good Friday morning of 2025, yes, we need to ask ourselves the question, are we convinced? Are we convinced like the centurion to believe who Jesus says he is to us? Has there been a time in your life when you were confronted with or convinced of the fact of who Jesus Christ is? In other words, when that moment came, did you place saving faith in him? You see, this centurion was saved because he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you accepted him as your Lord and your Savior? The one who died for your sins and who rose again to make you right with God? If you didn't, you can today. You can on this Good Friday morning. Because Paul says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But for the rest of us this morning, let us affirm once again our confession that in life and in death, we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our forgiveness and our salvation. May his name be glorified. Amen. Gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, and through the working of your Holy Spirit, we are grateful for this time spent in your presence on this Good Friday morning. Father, as we reflect upon the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, we are reminded of the greatness of your love for us. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness and salvation made possible through our Savior's death and resurrection. Lord, we pray that we may let the significance of Good Friday sink deep into our hearts so that we may live in the light of your love and mercy. Help us to remember the price that was paid by our Savior for our redemption. We pray that our lives may be a reflection of your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.